Amen. All right, there in Matthew chapter number 22, the part of the chapter that I want to focus on is beginning in verse number 36. We'll begin reading there. Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And then he says this, On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And the title of my sermon this morning is The Second Greatest Commandment. The second greatest commandment. I'm going to be preaching about loving your neighbor as yourself. Now, this is an extremely profound moment. It might be something easy to read over, but if you kind of put yourself in the situation as a bystander, when all of the people are gathered around Jesus Christ, and then you see a man walk up to Jesus, God in the flesh, and he asks him the question, Master, what's the greatest law? What's the greatest command in all the law? What's the greatest law that was given? I mean, that's an extremely important and extremely profound passage that we get to read right here. We can know of all the laws, what's the most important law and what's the second most important law. Like I said, I'm going to be preaching about the second greatest commandment. Look at what he says there in verse number 36. We'll begin reading again there. He says, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. So that's the number one. That's the greatest commandment in all the law. Then he says this. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. So it's similar to it in the sense that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And then he makes this statement. On these two commandments hang all the law and all the prophets. So what does he mean by that? He's saying these two commandments could summarize literally the entire Old Testament. As far as our duties of what we should do, all the laws and all the commandments that are given in the entire Old Testament, you can hang all of them on these two commandments. Go ahead and turn to Exodus chapter number 20. Now, I said that this is an extremely important subject. A very profound subject, but it's so funny how it's such an often misunderstood command. A very simple command. And we're going to look at some of the misconceptions about this command today. That's what we're going to look at. So look at Exodus chapter number 20. Exodus chapter number 20. I want to show you something interesting here in Exodus chapter number 20. This is the famous chapter where the Ten Commandments are first listed or first given. Look at chapter 20, verse 1. It says, And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. And then he ends the first half of the commands with this. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now, if you would have been paying attention, every of the first five commands, every one of them deals with honoring God, deals with serving God, deals with loving God. Look again, begin there in verse number 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. He says, Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Skip to the next. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them. So he's still talking about the graven image. Look at verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Then look at verse number 8 there. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So every single one of the commands, if we were to just skim through there, they all have to do with honoring God, with serving God, with loving God. That's the first five. Look at the second five. We'll begin reading verse number 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now, does this have to do with honoring God? This has to do with honoring man, honoring your neighbor. Keep reading. Verse 13. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Watch this. Against thy neighbor. So each one of those commands are given there. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Right? Thou shalt not bear false witness. And then he gives you that at the end. Against thy neighbor. Look at verse number 17. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Now we can see that these here, all of the last half of the commands, have to do with honoring your neighbor, or in the sense of, you know, not necessarily honoring, but loving your neighbor. I want to have you turn to another passage here. Go back to Matthew chapter number 19. We're going to look at Matthew chapter number 19, verse number 19. Matthew chapter number 19, verse number 19. I'm going to read a parallel passage to what we read earlier, Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter number 22. This is Mark chapter number 12, verse number 8. Mark chapter number 12, verse number 8 says this. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And then he says, and the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And then he says, there is none other commandment greater than these. So a little bit different wording there. Look at Matthew chapter number 19. This is just a few chapters prior to what we read earlier. Matthew chapter number 19. Look at verse number, we'll start reading verse number 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? So he's saying, if I can have eternal life, you know, what do I have to do? And he says, keep the commandments. Now look what he says here. Jesus is trying to demonstrate to him that he's not able to keep the commandments. Which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. So if you've been paying attention, that's the last five commandments that we just read of Exodus chapter number 20. The last five, the latter of the commandments of the 10 commandments listed there in Exodus 20. Now watch what he says, this, last. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So he ends it with, he lists those five commands, and then he ends it with, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now keep your hand here and turn over to Romans chapter number 13. Something very interesting about this. Romans chapter number 13. Romans chapter number 13. Now we saw that Jesus Christ already said that all the law could hang it all upon the two commands. The greatest command, loving God. And then the second command, loving our neighbor. Look at Romans chapter number 13, verse number 8. He says this, Owe no man anything, and then he says this, but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Watch verse 9. For this thou shalt not commit adultery. Now you have to get the context first too. I do want to point that out before we move on any further. He says, Owe no man anything. So the context of what law that's being discussed here would be the second law, the second greatest command. I'm going to begin reading again in verse number 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this, saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So he lists off all of those commands, just like we saw Jesus do, go through the last half of the Ten Commandments, and then he ends it with the statement, if there be any other command, it's briefly comprehended in this, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, like I said, the context is extremely important because he's talking about how you treat your fellow man. Because we do know that the greatest commandment, which has nothing to do with how we treat man, is to honor God. So there are things outside of this that we do need to do. But when we're discussing how we treat man, how we treat our fellow brother, how we treat our neighbor, here we can see that you can comprehend all of it just by that statement, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Verse number 10, it says, love worketh no ill. That's like worketh no evil to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Now, that's a powerful statement because if you look at verse number 8, it makes that statement a few times. He says at the end, for he that loveth another, he says, hath fulfilled the law. Look at verse number 9. Where it says that we read this before, it says that if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So the same thing when it's talking about loving one another, we can see that that is then used synonymous with loving your neighbor. Then if you look at verse number 10, it says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. So if we look at that story when the rich young ruler came to Jesus and he names off a few laws there, then he ends it with, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He is listing the entire, at least second half of the Ten Commandments, and then he's giving him basically the whole rest of the law. Anything that deals with how you treat man. Now, I'll give you my interpretation of why I believe he did that. You can drop your place in Matthew 19. Go over to James chapter number 2. We won't need to go back to Matthew 19. We won't have to turn back there. The reason being, because rich people often treat others poorly. So that's why he specifies the last half of the commands. A rich person, where they fail the most, is helping their neighbor, helping others. I want you to look at James chapter number 2. I'm going to read to you too from Galatians chapter number 5, verse number 13. Galatians chapter number 5, verse number 13 says this, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So we keep seeing that. All the law is fulfilled in this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And super important, if you get the context again of Galatians chapter 5, he's talking about how you treat one another. Look at James chapter number 2. We're going to begin reading verse number 8. It says this, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. So something super important here, or a strong statement that's given, is that the second greatest commandment is referred to as the royal law. So we can see the apostles, we can see Jesus, we can see James here, all these people lifting up the second greatest command. He's calling it the royal law, saying it's extremely important. Now, if you get the context of this specific passage, verse number 1, you look at it, it says, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool, are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Watch what he says. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Notice this. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called? So notice when he's talking about fulfilling the royal law, he uses them as a bad example of failing when it comes to fulfilling the royal law. Why? Because it includes being covetous. It includes defrauding your neighbor, lying to your neighbor, and stealing money from your neighbor. I didn't have this in my notes, but turn over to James chapter 5 and look at what it talks about here. James chapter number 5, verse number 1. Verse number 1, it says, "Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days." Watch this. "Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter." Watch this. "Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you." So you can even see them breaking, "Thou shalt not kill," as quoted by Jesus, "Thou shalt not murder." So you can see all five of these commands they're failing at. That's why Jesus Christ, when the rich man came to him, he gave him the second greatest command specifically, because that was something that was going to be very obvious to him, which obviously wasn't. It was something that if he was going to get anything, if he was going to understand that he was breaking a law in the Bible, he was breaking a law of God, that would have been an easy one for him to comprehend. I want to have you turn to another passage. Go ahead and go back to Luke chapter number 10, verse number 25. Luke chapter number 10, verse number 25. I'm going to read also from the Old Testament, another passage where it talks about loving your neighbor as yourself. Zechariah chapter 8, verse 16, it says this: "These are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor, execute the judgment of truth, and peace in your gates, and let none of you imagine evil." That's like ill, we saw before. "Imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor." And then it says, "And love no false oath, for all these things that I hate, saith the Lord." That's a pretty powerful statement. So God says if someone's defrauding their neighbor, if someone's doing evil to their neighbor, if they're treating their neighbor poorly, God says, "I hate that." Look at Luke chapter number 10. Verse number 25, Luke chapter number 10, verse number 25. And at this point right now in the sermon, I'm kind of like still in the introductory part of the sermon, the preliminary part of the sermon. So real quick, I want to address something real fast, something that some people will say. This is often taught in like more non-denom churches, that if all of the law is briefly comprehended in "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself," then that's the only thing that we need to preach. That we don't need to preach the Ten Commandments. We don't need to go through the second half of the commandments. And the reason why people say that is because they have their own definition of love, and it doesn't jive with the second half of the Ten Commandments. When they say they're going to love their neighbor as their self, they're going to lie to their neighbor. Those same people, when they have a philosophy, or the philosophies that they have, will be a philosophy that it's all right to lie to your neighbor as long as you're not hurting your neighbor, as long as you're not doing these things. And everything becomes, objective. Everything to them, they can just, it's relative to whatever they believe or whatever they want to do. They have a different definition of love. Now, in order for us to understand what that means, that you must love your neighbor as yourself, we have to study the second half of the Ten Commandments. We have to study what loving your neighbor is and what we should do. And just to prove that we shouldn't just be saying, "Love your neighbor as yourself," what did Jesus do when the rich young ruler came to him? He gave him the whole second half of the Ten Commandments, and then he said, "And," which is just a summary, "love thy neighbor as thyself." So we can see even from Jesus's, out of his own mouth, when he taught, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself," he didn't just teach, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." He made sure to give off the second half of the Ten Commandments so that it was understandable. Now, the longer we study the Bible, obviously we're going to understand things deeper. We can get to know the definitions of love. But especially someone that doesn't know the Bible well, they need to understand, because the philosophies of this world are entirely different. They need to understand the Bible's philosophy. Amen. And then be given, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Now, here in Luke chapter number 10, what we're going to do is we're going to get the definition of what our neighbor is. A lot of people will say that everyone is your neighbor. That's not true. That's another misconception. So the number one misconception is, we don't just tell people, "Love your neighbor as yourself." We have to teach them what love is, and teach them the Ten Commandments in order for them to comprehend, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." The number two misconception of the second greatest command, so this is important, these are things that we should understand. The second greatest command is that people believe or will teach and preach that everyone is your neighbor. Look at Luke chapter number 10, verse number 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. So we see that statement again there. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. And he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among the thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. Verse 35. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? Now I want to stop there real quick. I want you to look at verse number 36, what he says. Which now of these three? So there's three men that are talked about in the story. Then Jesus frames the question like this. Which now of these three was his neighbor? Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell? Now think about this logically. If all three of them were his neighbor, could he ask the question and frame the question like this? Which of these three?
Right.
That alone proves that all three of these people are not his neighbor. Not only that, if you just keep reading, verse number 37, and he said, He that showed mercy on him, then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise. Now, not only that, we're going to look at a bunch of other passages where we prove this very clearly, but if you remember in Matthew chapter number 5, Jesus said, You have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Now, you know what that proves? That your neighbor and your enemy are two different people. Now, this is what you have to keep in mind, that there are different parts of the law. Now, specifically the law when it comes to loving your brethren, loving your brothers, that would be considered as your neighbor. But that doesn't mean that we just shouldn't love our enemy, because Jesus goes on to talk about how we should love our enemy. I'm going to have you turn to a passage, Leviticus chapter number 19. But that passage alone proves what Jesus said, that everyone's not your neighbor, because some people are your enemy. Look at Leviticus chapter number 19, verse number 11. Leviticus chapter number 19, verse number 11. I'm going to read to you from Ephesians chapter number 5, verse number 29. The Bible says, For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Now the reason I read to you that is because Jesus says, Love your neighbor as yourself. We naturally just take care of ourselves. We love our bodies in the sense that we take care of our body. We're not going to just destroy our body. We're not going to do bad things to ourselves. Naturally, we would not. Just like this verse says, For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Look at Leviticus chapter number 19. We're going to begin reading in verse number 11. Leviticus chapter number 19, verse number 11. The Bible says, Ye shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another. So notice, now I want to point out the statement already there. One to another. First we see also, the very first statement, you shall not steal. That's a part of the Ten Commandments. Neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another. So those are kind of the same thing. They're dealing falsely, lying. But notice it says one to another. We keep seeing that phrase used over and over and over again. Look at the next verse. And you shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor. neither rob him. This is kind of what we saw mentioned in James chapter number 5. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee. And talk about the wages being kept back of him that is hired. Shall not abide with thee all night until the morning. Thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shalt fear thy God. I am the Lord. Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. But in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. Notice that. Judge thy neighbor. He said one another before, and then he said thy neighbor. Verse number 16. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer, watch this, among thy people. Neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Verse number 17. Thou shalt not hate thy brother. So we keep seeing thy people. Then we saw thy neighbor. Then we also saw a moment ago thy people again. Said that twice. And then it said one another once. And then we see here again. Thou shalt not go up as a talebearer. Neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor and the Lord. Now we're in verse 17. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor. So that couldn't be any clearer of who your neighbor is. It says very clearly that your neighbor is your brother. Your neighbor is one another of thy people, like he keeps saying. And not suffer sin upon him. Look again at verse number 18. Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge, watch this, against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So over and over again, he keeps using interchangeably or synonymously thy neighbor, thy brother, thy people, one another, those that are dwelling together, right? Those that are the neighbors, those that are of God at this point, the Israelites, which are the children of God. That specific command of thy neighbor in this circumstance were those that were dwelling in the nation of Israel. That couldn't be any clearer. Now I want you to keep your hand here and I want you to go back to 1 Peter chapter number 22. 1 Peter chapter number 22. Now you might not have noticed this earlier, but I'm going to read you again from Romans chapter 13 verse number 8, where it said the first phrase that we opened up with when we read that passage. It says, "Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law." So when he says the man there, and then he follows it up with love one another. One another is not everyone. I don't know how people don't understand this sometimes, but I've had so many people at the door when I'm out soul winning and you get off topic sometimes that loving one another means to love everyone. One another is equivalent to saying like each other. Love each other or love one another. If I were to say my wife and I, we love one another. Am I saying, and this will demonstrate how stupid that is, am I saying that we love everyone or that we love the whole world? No, that's ridiculous. I'm saying we love each other or we love one another. So when we see the commands over and over again that say love one another, that is a specific command to love the brethren, to love other your neighbor, to love your people as far as the people of God. Like I said, there are other commandments outside of this that talk about where God also wants us to love our enemy, where God also wants us, you know, obviously to preach the gospel to those that are lost. But this is a specific command of loving your neighbor where it's talking about loving the brethren. We saw that here in Leviticus 19. Now you're in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 22, correct? 1 Peter chapter number 1 verse 22. I want you to pay attention to the wording here. He says in 1 Peter chapter number 1 verse number 22, "Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren," watch this, "see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently." So notice the brethren there is loving one another. Look over at 1 Peter chapter number 3, verse number 8, just one page over. 1 Peter chapter number 3, verse number 8. "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another." And then he says, "Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous." So we can see brethren over and over again is used referring to one another. We saw the word brother used interchangeably with neighbor. We saw one another used also interchangeably with neighbor. Go back again to Leviticus chapter number 19. Leviticus chapter number 19. I'm going to read you from 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, verse number 9, another example. It says, "But as touching brotherly love." Now notice the way that that's worded. That's important. So he's telling you what he's getting ready to talk about. He says, but as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God, watch this, to love one another. So that's just a really clear passage that says, but hey, talking about, you know, brotherly love, you already know because you guys already love one another. Proving that statement again, one another is talking, referring to loving your brethren, loving your brother. Now, here in Leviticus chapter number 19, I want to show you the third misconception of this loving your brethren. And this just further proves that you can't just be giving or loving thy neighbor, loving thy brethren, either one, loving one another. You can't just give someone that doesn't know the Bible, that hasn't studied the Bible, you know, that's a new Christian. You can't just give them the command alone to love their neighbor because they won't understand it. Now, I want you to look there, Leviticus chapter number 19. Let's look at verse number 17. Leviticus chapter number 19, verse number 17. 19:17. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. So we're going to go through this slowly because it's like people don't understand this. He's telling them, thou shalt not hate your brother. He's saying you're not supposed to hate your brother. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Watch this. Thou shalt, now this is something you should do. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor. So we can see there, like we saw, like I pointed out earlier, the neighbor is the brother, right? So he first says something you shouldn't do to your brother or to your neighbor. He says, thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. And then he gives them a command on how not to hate him. He says, thou shalt in any wise, he's saying in any way, in any situation that you need to, rebuke thy neighbor. And then he says, and not suffer sin upon him. Now the world says that when you rebuke someone, or if you're sharp, if you speak sharply to anyone in any type of situation, some people, even if you correct someone in any way, it's automatically hate. It's any type of negativity, you do not love that person. I've had multiple people, I'm sure everyone in this room can probably attest to this, where I'm at the door giving the gospel, showing someone how they can go to heaven. And I have to talk about hell, obviously, because you first have to show them they're not saved to get them saved. And people will just tell me, like, you aren't loving. Like, you just don't love people. I can't believe you're doing this. You know, this is what you're preaching and teaching is just so hateful. I don't spend, you know, hours on end going out because I hate people so much that I just want to go around and tell them how much I hate them. I do that because I love people. And according to the Bible's definition of what love is, that would be loving. Going to the door and showing them, hey, you're going to hell. Let me show you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. Because look at what it says at the end of that passage. But thou shalt, verse number 17. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor. And then it says this, and not suffer sin upon him. So you know what you're doing when you rebuke your neighbor, when you correct your neighbor, when he's out of line? You're not suffering sin upon him. Like it talks about again at the end of James chapter 5. And it's interesting because almost the entire book of James has a lot to do with loving your neighbor. If you notice when it talks about loving your neighbor, it's often talking about defrauding your neighbor, lying to your neighbor, stealing from your neighbor, killing your neighbor. Notice it talks a lot about, you know, the rich man. That's brought up in James chapter 1, James chapter 2. It's brought up in James chapter 3. I can't remember if it's brought up in James chapter 4. We saw James chapter 5 over and over again. That whole book is talking about like the royal law. And you know, it says at the very end of the book that, you know, let's turn there. I can't remember exactly how it's worded. James chapter 5. Keep your hand here though. James chapter 5. Look at the very end of the book. It ties in, I just thought this a moment ago, with what we were reading there. It said, not suffering sin upon him. Look at verse 19. Brethren, so these are brothers, these are neighbors, right? These are all saved people that he's speaking to. If any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, so how do you think he converts him? He obviously has to go to him and tell him he's wrong. He has to intercede, he has to tell him, hey, this is wrong. By rebuking him, he says this, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sin. Notice that the brother there is not, he's not suffering sin upon his neighbor. Now, does it look like this was something bad he did to his neighbor or to his brother or something good? This is something good, of course. He's going to his neighbor and he's rebuking his neighbor. He's rebuking his brother. He's correcting his brother and telling him, hey, this is wrong. Hey, you know, who in their right mind could watch someone destroy their life and say, hey, that's fine. I'm a good guy, even though I just don't feel like getting in his face. I don't feel like correcting him. You know, I'm just going to let him do his own thing. Who would look at a situation like that and say, yeah, that's the right thing to do? That's ridiculous. You know, people have just this weird view about what love is today. And you know what the Bible says that the way to love your neighbor is? When your neighbor is in sin, you rebuke them. When your neighbor is getting out of line, when he's not in the right way, when he's not in the right path, you go to him and you correct him. And you tell him that. Obviously, we need to be careful. We need to know that, hey, this is a serious sin that someone's in. You know, you don't see someone, you know, like fall asleep in church and then just stand up in the middle of church and rebuke them or something like that. Obviously, this has to be something, I would say, that's listed specifically in Leviticus chapter number 19. Somebody's, you know, if somebody's doing something in Leviticus chapter number 19, they're defrauding their neighbor, they owe their neighbor money, they owe someone money, then that would be a serious situation. It would make sense that you would get that from the context here. So, loving your neighbor is not like what the world says is love. That their definition of love is wrong. We can see that from here. I want you to go to Proverbs chapter number 27. Proverbs chapter number 27. Proverbs chapter number 27. Proverbs chapter number 27, verse number 5. Proverbs chapter number 27, verse number 5. It says this: open rebuke is better than secret love. And then it says this too: faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. And that makes me think of too, like when Paul was writing to the church of Galatia, and some of the letters in the Bible, the epistles that Paul would write in the New Testament, Paul oftentimes is commending the church on doing a great job. It's kind of like the seven churches which are in Asia that John writes to and Jesus Christ addresses. Some of them he commends them on things, some of them he corrects them on things. Now, the church of Galatia got like a super hard rebuke or a super hard correction amongst all of the churches. And Paul makes the statement, he says, am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? He's trying to show the irony of that they would be angry at him or that they would be mad at him because he's telling them the truth. If you are the person that's in sin or you are the person that's doing wrong, you ought not be stiff-necked and hard-hearted when your brother comes to you because he's doing that because he loves you. That's what the Bible teaches. He's not doing that because he hates you. If that's what you believe, then you have the wrong definition of love. You don't have the definition that the Bible has of loving your neighbor. And if you are the person that just watches your brother destroy their life, then you don't love your brother. You don't love your neighbor. You don't love one another like that. You are failing at keeping the second greatest command in the Bible. The second greatest commandment, you are failing at that in your Christian life. If we want to love our brother, we would do right to go to our brother and correct our brother when he's in sin. Obviously, like I said, you need to use discretion. You need to know that your brother would be wrong about this. You need to follow things. If it's something serious that involves the church, follow the order of church disciplinary actions in the New Testament. But you shouldn't just let your brother destroy his life and not go to him and correct him if something's personally going on in his life. And the Bible tells us right here, an open rebuke. It's just using an example here. It's not saying, hey, you should rebuke everyone openly. It's just saying, as an example, an open rebuke is better than secret love. It's two extremes. A person going to someone and in front of everyone, if that person was wrong and correcting that person, would be better than the other guy who loves him but he's too scared to say something. It would be better for that person to go to them in front of everyone and correct them, in front of everyone and rebuke them. And then it's not a coincidence that verse is followed up with, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Oftentimes, the person that claims they have secret love for you probably doesn't love you at all. Oftentimes, the person that says they loves you but isn't willing to go to you and rebuke you probably doesn't love you that much at least. They probably don't have that high of a degree of love for you. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. I'm going to have you turn. This will be our last passage that we turn to. We'll end here. John chapter number 13. John chapter number 13. Now, a way to learn how to love your neighbor would be to go through that list. You know, one of the things, too, that's major, talks about not grudging your neighbor. Not avenging your neighbor. Not holding a grudge against your neighbor. And that's talking about forgiving your neighbor. We're all human. We all have sin. And we're all going to do each other wrong at one point if we're together enough. And you have to have the right heart, as in you need to be able to forgive your neighbor. You need to be able to forgive your brother. You need to be able to forgive one another when we do each other wrong. When those things happen, you need to be able to forgive your neighbor. That's what it's talking about. Obviously, we shouldn't be lying to our neighbor. We shouldn't be stealing from our neighbor. We shouldn't be doing any of those things to our neighbor. That's the way to love our neighbor. Go through there. When you get time on your own, personally, I would recommend to go to Leviticus chapter number 19 and look through that list and ask yourself, am I loving my neighbor? Am I keeping all of these commands? Does it appear in my life that I love my neighbor? I want you to look at John chapter number 13, verse number 34. We're going to end here. John chapter number 13, verse number 34. Jesus said this, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another." And then he says this, "As I have loved you." So we see that word again, love one another. But he adds something there. He says, "As I have loved you." That statement, I mean, "As I have loved you." And then he says, "That ye also," so in the same way that Jesus loved us, it says, "That ye also love one another." Now watch this. "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." So he ends it with saying, he says, "I've loved you, and I'm giving you a commandment that you should love each other," or love one another, "in the same way that I loved you." Now, how much did Jesus love us? Jesus loved us enough to die for us on the cross. Now, if you were to look at your life now, examine yourself, do you believe that you love your brother the same amount that Jesus Christ loves us, or Jesus Christ loved his disciples? Because that's what the command is. The command is to love one another equally, to exactly the same degree or the exact same way that Jesus Christ loved his disciples, or Jesus Christ loves us. And then he ends it by saying this, "By this," so by that we love each other so much. So it has to be obviously a great measure of love. It has to be a lot of love, because it says this, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." What I want to point out about that is this. He says this also, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." So that also proves that all men are in a separate group than the love one another. Because he says all men are going to know that you're my disciples because you love one another. We should love each other as brethren. We should love our neighbor. We should look at the Bible and we should define love according to the Bible. Now we can see some of the misconceptions that people have here. Number one, the first misconception there, when it's talking about loving your neighbor as yourself, we defined one thing, what our neighbor was. We saw what our neighbor was. We also saw that loving your neighbor is not enough just to give as a command to a new Christian. We need to study the Bible. We need to understand what it means to love our neighbor, because definitions change. The world has a different opinion of what love is. So first we need to define the word love. And we need to know what type of love God has and what type of love God wants us to have to our neighbor, right? We need to know who our neighbor is. And we need to love our neighbor. And then point number three was this, that another misconception is because we need to be correcting our neighbor when they're out of line. We need to be correcting our neighbor in love. We shouldn't go to our neighbor in hate. We shouldn't go to our neighbor and just because we are looking for an opportunity to rebuke somebody. We should go to them because we love them. And if you read there in James chapter number 5, it sounds to me like for sure that person that did that was being commended and that they were doing something good. He says, "Let him know that the man that converted the sinner, they have saved a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins." So he's letting him know, like, hey, this is a great thing that you've done. Even if you wouldn't receive the reward in heaven, wouldn't it be great to be able to hide a multitude of sins in your brother's life? We should. Was that something that you would want? Because remember, the command, love thy neighbor, it says this, as thyself. It's not just love your neighbor. It's love your neighbor as yourself. We need to love our neighbor as ourselves. Now, if you were in sin, would you want someone to come to you and correct you? Of course we would. Well, that's what we should do to our neighbor. If we find our neighbor in sin, if we find them in committing some sort of sin of avenging or grudging or lying or stealing, whatever it may be that's listed there, defrauding our neighbor, whatever it may be, we need to go to our neighbor and we should correct our neighbor. We should do that in love. The Bible says an open rebuke is better than secret love. We need to use the Bible's definitions of all things. And here's the thing too. One thing that we can take away from this sermon is that we don't just believe everything we've heard our whole life. Because such a great commandment, you know, as the second greatest command of all that's in the entire Bible, the second greatest command, Jesus is asked personally, what's the greatest command in the Bible? He says, love God and love your neighbor. And just within that second great command, I pointed out just three common misconceptions that people have about what it means to love your neighbor. So we need to make sure when we go to serve God, when we go with a sincere heart to serve God, that we make sure that we search the Scriptures and we find out with that the way that we are serving God, that it's according to the Bible. And the things that we believe, the definitions that we have of words, and the way that we live our lives daily, when striving to keep each command, that it's according to God's Word. Because you don't want to do everything for naught. You don't want to keep God's command and be doing it wrong all along. And it would be your own fault through your own ignorance that you didn't study these things out on your own. So we need to study to show ourselves approved unto God. And always study the Bible and make sure that we know, you know, that we've proved all things. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for this day. We thank you, dear Lord God, for the great love that you had toward us, dear Lord. Help us also to have that love toward one another, and not only to have that love in our heart, not it to be a secret love, but also for it to be a public love that's obvious, that all men know that we love one another, and by that we know that we are Jesus' disciples, dear Lord. Help us to be known by, like that says, that we're your disciples because we love each other. We love you so much, and we ask that you be with us and bless the day and keep us safe. And in Jesus Christ's name, amen.